Hello, everybody. My name is Daniel Prince, and I am the host of the Once Bitten podcast. This is a podcast focused on Bitcoin. It's my mission to interview as many people as I can around the different aspects of Bitcoin and help people understand exactly what Bitcoin could mean for them and for their families and for their future. I hope you enjoy the show. Thank you so much for listening. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Once Bitten podcast. Joining me for this conversation is Henrik Skogstrom of LN Capital. And he's here to talk about how you should be as a company, if you're running a Lightning node or if you're running lots of channels, how to scale that and use their technology, their flagship product, Torque, to help you operate a successful Lightning network and look after all of those channels. This is a scaling problem that people have been, you know, banging their heads up against, especially if you've ever tried managing several different Lightning channels all at once. So this is a very nice solution and one that's going to go a long way, I think, in helping bigger companies come into the space and be able to accept multiple payments multiple times a day. Maybe thousands of payments, depending on how big the merchant is. We need this kind of technology in place for the next wave of huge merchant adoption. So enjoy the show. If you've got anything to add, please leave comments underneath and on Fountain Boost if you're so inclined, and reach out to Henrik if there's any way that you think you might be able to help this project. Before we get into the show, as usual, I'd just like to give some shout outs to the show sponsors and the supporters. Long-term supporters, swan.com. They're based in the US. If you want to stack Bitcoin in the US, head over to swan.com. Use the code BITTEN. That will unlock a free $10. You will get a white glove service if you are looking for it. And you can also get information on how to switch over your retirement into Bitcoin and save in the hardest money ever discovered by humanity. Across this side of the pond, Relay. Now that's spelled relai.ch/bitten. Use the code BITTEN when you download the app and create an account, and you will save on commissions there. And you can stack up to 1,000 Swiss per day very, very quickly. You can be signed up under a few minutes and stacking away. HODL, HODL are your place to go for peer-to-peer global trading platform. And it's a lending platform too. So look into both of their offerings. You can just start stacking and exchanging your fiat with plebs all around the world. Or you can look to lend against your Bitcoin on their platform as well. WasabiWallet.io. Head over there if you want to learn about CoinJoin and how this is going to up your privacy on your existing stack or the stack that you are working on building. Just head over to wasabiwallet.io. It is all there for you. Learn about the CoinJoin service, set up a wallet, try it out, and see if that is something that you need to up your game with. Bitbox is the place to go. Last step here for cold storage, the Bitbox O2. Brought to you by bitbox.swiss/bitten, and use the code BITTEN for a 5% discount on that particular piece of hardware. Mempool.space is a place to go to track all of these transactions and up your knowledge on the Bitcoin blockchain and the mempool. Orange Pill app, of course, is where you download and find your friends, your Bitcoin plebs close to you, or events, and get to conferences. We've got Liberty in Our Lifetime coming up in Prague. Use the code BITTEN for a 10% discount. All right, we are here, and I've been practicing, and I'm going to go for it. We're here with Henrik Skogstrom from LN Capital.
Correct. Yeah. Well pronounced.
I tried. Lauren? Oh, yeah. You go for it. You're sitting there looking at me. Yeah, go ahead.
So what is the Lightning Network?
So the Lightning Network is a scaling solution for Bitcoin. So it, in a way, aggregates transactions. So it only becomes one opening and one closing Bitcoin transaction. So that makes it so that it scales and transactions go basically instant.
Do you feel as though you already knew that, or have you learned something new? Yeah?
Good. I told you I already knew
that. Good. Then everybody else you've spoken to, including myself, are doing their jobs correctly.
Okay. I got another question. What is your favorite thing about Bitcoin?
I mean, it's a completely new financial instrument and way to transport value. And I think for me, it's sort of the versatility and the different ways it can be used. So, of course, the most important one is to facilitate and improve financial freedom around the world and giving people in different financial situations more tools to play with. But of course, it can also be used in more traditional, larger scale finance around the world. So it's sort of there's something interesting in all aspects of this sort of financial industry and the world. So yeah, it's hard to answer. It's just everything.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any further questions?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. Where are you from? Where were you joining us from, if you're willing to share?
I'm in Oslo, Norway.
Where they just had the Human Rights Foundation Freedom Conference. Did you make it across?
I just came back from Prague, so I had a bunch of stuff to catch up on, but I was there some of the time, and it's like 15 minutes from my home, so I should have been there the entire conference, but
What can you share with us from that conference? Because I think it's one I'd love to get there. I haven't got there yet. I think it's one that really does a great work around orange pilling people that were going for the freedom factor and human rights factor, and then all of a sudden they get introduced to Bitcoin and Bitcoiners, and they're like, oh my God, like, of course this is the answer. That's my feeling. Did you see any of that happening or any anecdotal stories?
absolutely. So it touches on sort of that intersection where it's not just so it doesn't fall into sort of hype as quickly as other conferences. And it really they had the one of the stages I think was financial freedom, where they a lot of different people using this day to day to help them promote freedom around the world in different ways, where there's challenges to get money across to different people who need it. And that was just sort of this reminder of like how important it is to keep building this technology and keep making it more accessible to everybody. So yeah, I would definitely recommend it to everybody.
Yeah, I think it's a good one to probably take your family to, or your normie friend who's not quite there. But again, like I say, I've not been yet, so hopefully we'll be able to get there next year. We couldn't make it happen this year because of Prague. It was right on top of it, and we were already committed to that and couldn't make it happen. But well, Lauren, if you want to say goodbye, then
Yep, thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
So yeah, let's well, first of all, give a shout out to Nathan, who introduced us. Nathan from Bitcoiner Jobs said, you'd be a great person to get on the podcast to talk about Lightning Network and find out what you do and what you're building. But I guess before we get into that, it's always nice to know where you've come from beforehand and ultimately what brought you to Bitcoin. So before all of LN Capital and Bitcoin entered your life, what was going on?
First, thank you for having me. And it's sort of going all the way back. Like my background is actually from the business side, where I worked with market analytics brand insight and stuff like that. And I finally got sick of doing reports and started automating. Got into programming, and through that, just found my passion in building stuff essentially. And through that, I always explored different areas, and I worked a lot as an independent consultant with data processing, data wrangling, data visualization, from sort of the business side design, and then over to development and actually solving the problem. So through that, eventually, I ended up, of course, looking into crypto and Bitcoin, and of course, went the route through Ethereum and the entire thing. I had to learn everything, do all the mistakes. But in the end, I came across Lightning, and I just realized like there's nothing else that's worth looking at. This is sort of was rediscovering programming in a way. So after that, that was January 2019, and I've been in that bubble since. Hopefully, it's a bubble that's smart to be in. So,
and where was am I picking up like a very soft Irish accent there or something? Because it sounds like it to me, or there's something in there. Have you lived abroad? Have you worked in different countries around the world?
So actually not. I'm not sure. I spoke with a guy who's Irish earlier today, so I might like just picked up some of that. I don't know.
I wonder if any of the listeners would have picked up on that as well. Interesting. But you've always been in Oslo?
Yeah. Traveled, of course, and lived in Hong Kong for just a short while, but yeah, no Irish.
Okay. So when you find the Lightning Network and the light bulb goes off, what was that point? What were the resources that suddenly, you know, you found and come across and was changing your mind about this whole Bitcoin versus crypto thing?
Yeah. So actually at the time I was working in a company and it was part of building up from day one Arcane Crypto, and which is now known as Arcario and K33. And through that, we started looking into different aspects. And Torbjörn, who was the CEO or is the CEO, he introduced me to Lightning. And I essentially started looking into it and setting up my own node through a Raspi Bolt guide. And going through that, of course, it was sort of hard to get started into it, but that sort of process, joining from that early stage, you saw the problems, you saw how hard it was, like paying $5 across the network at that point was really hard, but still you could see the enormous potential in this. And also the growth was at that time quite quick. It leveled up a bit, off a bit, but then just shot through the roof again.
Right. Now, what is LN Capital? What is the whole idea? What is the vision? And what tools have you built? And where are you hoping this goes?
Yeah, so I started running after I quit Arcane Crypto. I started running a routing node because I've been operating sort of the business node and building Lightning payment infrastructure at Arcane. And when I dove deeper into operating my own node, I realized that there weren't really any scalable tools for managing the nodes. So once you have more than a few hundred channels or 100 channels even, it starts become very difficult to operate it. And also like all the automation tools at that point were basically just command line tools with some config files, etc. So this is not something you can really run a company on. So I started then building what is LN Capital and Torque to be this scalable enterprise ready node management tool. So because like it's basically about taking all the complexity out of running a node, but for these companies who actually need to operate the node themselves and can't rely on LSPs or other payment processors. So imagine if you are a payment processor, you can't ask another payment processor to work for you. You have to actually manage that infrastructure. So that's who we're building the tool for. And that's been quite popular as well, because imagine if you're a payment processor, like the sales argument to your customers is not like the payment arrives. That's like the basic requirement to call yourself a payment processor. You're selling them that the API is easy to use, the interface is frictionless for customers to check out. You're selling all these other points. So if you spend like 50% of your time just managing your nodes or building rudimentary software, that doesn't make sense as a startup or a company. You should focus on the other stuff. So that's what Torque does, essentially takes away all that work so that you can use a polished product that an entire team is working on, delivering to you, so that you can focus on what's really mattering.
Yeah, there's a huge need for that as more and more merchants. I mean, there's a big push right out there from the pleb army to get their local bars, restaurants, cafes accepting Bitcoin, and like the best kind of tools that we have at hand are just the apps we have on our phones, right? Because we cannot say to them, Okay, now you need to go and start running a node next to your cash point, next to your point of sale machine, and then we get everybody rigged in together. And yeah, it might, like a 600 euro bill comes in. If they don't have the liquidity on those channels, then they're not going to be able to accept the payment. So you are building something that they can, it's plug and play. Is that the idea, or it's software? Is it hardware that I'm trying to think, you know, from a pleb standpoint, how can we help get the word out of what you're doing and the, you know, the problem that you're solving?
Yeah. So we're actually building a bit towards the higher sort of enterprise and service provider level, where at that point, you don't need a plug and play. You don't need something that sort of takes care of liquidity for you, because you might have 1,000 channels, and that's more the problem. So for smaller shops, they can use like a LSP service and some light client that just sort of gives them a liquidity and plug that into, for example, a BTC pay server. So Torque is more for dealing with that huge amount of channels and events and stuff happening. So you can automate that and react to different events. So for example, if some channels are stale and there's just too much liquidity in different channels, then you can automatically close them. You can also automatically rebalance and change fees, etc. And we're trying to do this in a way that's both easy and visually simple to use, but it's still flexible and powerful enough for these really large companies. So as a side effect of that focus, I guess it's still quite easy for somebody to use Torque to manage their node, but that's not the main focus.
Managing a node is not easy, right? That's one thing I think the plebs will all agree on. We've all of us that do it, we run it and we try our best at doing it. What happened the other day? Perfect example. We were in Prague. Sorry, I don't think we actually got to meet face to face, but you know what it was like? Crazy. Meeting 1,000 people every minute of the day. But Nathan Day from BTC Maps picked up a couple of dinners that we'd had out with the kids, and myself and Ben were going to just pay him back. He's like, well, let's do this over Noster, Zap. Bam. So he puts it out on Zap. This is what everybody owes. It was myself, Ben Weeks, and Ben Naval. And of course, I can do it because I've got my Zeus connected to my node, and that's connected to my NPub, and everything's all connected. It took hours of other people teaching me how to do it, but it's all connected. But I couldn't make the payment because it was too much. So in the end, I had to speak with Nathan, and we figured out a different way to do it. So we still got the zaps, and we still did it over zapping, because that was the whole thing. But it just highlighted to us both how difficult it is. I mean, we're still so early. So
yeah,
what you are doing is providing a solution for an instance, like that would be a pleb problem, but you're also providing solutions for, you know, what could be huge in-store megastore companies that we all know the name and brands of.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, huge companies where it makes sense for them to operate their own infrastructure or payment processors like OpenNode, for example. So yeah, it's more about that scale. And the problem there is actually even bigger. So I think there is now a lot of services and LSPs and stuff coming out to simplify the customer journey for you as a consumer, even if you have a self-custody wallet. So Breeze, for example, how that works is there's coming more options and it's improving every day. But of course, the problem is different for enterprise. So that's where we're building towards, where yeah, you need to take care of so much else. So even if you're a LSP for somebody else, right, then you can have 15,000 channels. So what do you do at that point? Like, you can't request do a terminal command and see what's happening. It needs to be solved on all these different levels to work in the real world.
Would it be a tool as well for those people that want to? I mean, the idea of lightning banks was kind of shielded around for a little while, right? The idea that you would be able to route all of this traffic and you could take tiny amounts of commission
every time some liquidity passed through your node. Is that something that people could perhaps look at using it for as well?
Yeah. So actually, we started with a focus on that. So routing nodes. And it's still a tool for that. It has all the features you need to run a successful routing node. And I think that's going to be an increasing part of the industry as we go along, that the need for liquidity and for that liquidity to move around efficiently throughout the network based on different events and different use cases is still large, and it's growing as the industry grows. Because even as a large operator, it's hard to have significantly large channels everywhere around the network. So we're going to rely on this set of sort of lightning banks, I guess, and routing nodes. And I think also a lot of these routing nodes are going to become a mix of routing node and LSPs, so providing channels to others.
How's this been received by people that you've managed to talk to about it and get in front of? Obviously, you've been to a few of the conferences. What are people saying to you? What's the feedback so far?
Yeah, they're starting to see the problem. Like, nodes are getting bigger and bigger. So they're like, some of these are like, thank God, finally a management solution that scales. So it's that the need is absolutely out there, and that they're having these growing pains. And I think the entire network is having those. So the response is good.
Well, did you go to the Dev Hack Day before it all kicked off in Prague? Was you part of that?
Yeah. So I had a talk there as well, where I covered some of what Tor can do, and also talked about the Scaling Lightning project, which is more about testing and providing a testing framework open source for the entire Lightning industry so that we can grow faster.
And that's something I'd like to get your insights on, the entire Lightning industry. Perhaps many of us that are in the space, I mean, everybody's in different pockets, right? Different niches. I'm not in the Lightning niche. I don't know what's going on there. What were you seeing at this conference or any of the other conferences that you're going to that's being built on Lightning that is really exciting you?
Oh, there's a lot, especially in the protocol level. For example, splicing, we got prisms and Bolt 12. Of course, everybody's waiting for Bolt 12 to be merged into LND, and I think Bolt 12 as well is going to enable a lot of different cool technology or solutions for node managers to move liquidity around, and also to make more advanced payment setups.
Can I ask a silly question right there? What is Bolt 12?
Oh yeah, of course. So Bolt 11 is the normal invoice we see on Lightning. And you get sent that from the other party saying, like, this is how much money I want from you. But that's a bit cumbersome, right? It's like we go in a store and we always get an invoice, and that invoice we pay with our bank, right? Mm-hmm. So Bolt 12 essentially has a way of communicating between the nodes where it fetches that invoice for you. So you just scan a QR code and it gives you back the invoice that your node then pays. So it automates all that process. But it can also do a lot of other stuff in there. So for example, prisms, you can sort of nest these effects. So you can spread that payment out. So let's say you're buying a chocolate at a store, and then that store receives the payment, but part of that money is immediately forwarded to their supplier again. And yeah, so there's a lot of cool stuff that Bolt 12 allows for.
Okay, prisms. All right. And there's another word in there that you mentioned, splicing.
Yep.
Okay.
So splicing is a new way of opening channels and moving channels around, where you can move liquidity between channels, for example, so you don't need to fully open and close them. It's essentially a lot of sort of complicated things you can use it for, but it also just, it's a set of new tools that large node operators especially can use to work more efficiently. Because just remember that whenever we have a channel, we have liquidity, or liquidity is capital that is locked up in a channel. So if we don't use that channel, it is sort of a cost, right? We could have used that elsewhere. So by having more of these tools, we can actually make it more efficient, and you can reduce the amount of Bitcoin on your node. So both security and sort of the alternative costs of having that capital in the node is reduced.
Dare I ask if Bolt 13 is going to be released anytime soon? And what people are talking, I know how quick these things move. This is, yeah, so clearly this is all scaling big time. Prism seems really interesting, actually, because the way you've described it, the first thing I can kind of imagine is everybody in the supply chain getting paid at point of sale instantly with final settlement. That changes everything. That changes global business in such an incredible way.
Yeah, it's really cool. And sort of the way I understood Lightning initially as well is like, you, instead of a credit card transaction where you essentially give the bank allowance to take money out of your account and send it somewhere else, you in Lightning, you have that control. You take your wallet and you give it directly to somebody else. So it's much more like a cash transaction at the point. And with Prisms, you can just continue that down the chain, right? So as you said, final settlement instant across the entire supply chain. That's a really cool concept. I think it's also worth remembering that this is still very early in the complexity of the entire technology and industry. And I think we will just see more and more of these applications. And I think also we will see some changes where some ideas we initially had is going to be obsolete or changed based on what the real world actually needs and will use. So I think new concepts like this, like Prisms, is really cool, but it's going to take time for the rest of the world and how business is conducted to adopt around those new possibilities, right?
You've got my mind racing with it because it solves so much of what's wrong in global business supply chains today, because you don't have the signal, right? All you have is noise and guesswork. And so you're going to overproduce or underproduce just naturally because you do not have that instant feedback from the market participants, who are the people that are buying those goods and services. So imagine in 10 years' time from now, if everybody is on a Bitcoin standard and Prisms are being used at all of these conglomerates and corporations around the world, it's pure signal. You know exactly, you know, it'll be so much easier to handle your the resources that you need, and you won't overproduce. Yeah. And there'll be no waste, and you won't be overhiring, overstaffing on a guess, on a whim that yes, the business is going to come and we're going to have to get ahead of it because we're going to have to ramp up. All of that goes away. And instead, what you get is pure signal, final settlement, and less waste of time, energy, and resources.
Yeah, I think also the automation around how businesses work can be much more efficient, right? And you see the a lot of companies today work on credit limits because money transactions take a long yeah. time. And you sell on credit, you need to ship it. So an example is, for example, when you sell salmon, you can't let that sort of, you can't let a credit sort of a transaction because the credit limit is passed and let the salmon just stand there on the airport, right? And just, now we can't ship it because we don't have the money. So having those sort of instant transactions around is really beneficial. So.
It's almost like fix the money, fix the world is a correct meme. When you look at it that way.
Yeah, I guess. And it's, it's just hard to imagine at this point how it's going to change the world. Like it's like we saw with the internet. We could talk about things where we saw the obvious steps, where it's like moving the phone book to an internet service and a lot of these things, it still took a lot of time to actually get there. But today we're moving much, much faster, of course. But as I think just in 5 years, we're going to see possibilities and services we can't imagine today, simply because it wasn't possible to operate in that way in how our financial system works today.
So how many of you guys working on this at LN Capital? What's the team? What's the structure? Who are the plebs behind this?
Yeah. So right now it's me, Cobe. We're onboarding another one, and Jack. So we're four. And so we're a lean team, but we're getting a lot done.
So that was going to be my next question. What happens over the next 9 to 18 months for you guys as we get closer to the halving? And anybody that's been around for a little time generally knows there's a lot of excitement around that event, and there will most likely be a run-up in price compared to dollars or euros or whatever you're comparing it to, just towards the halving, and then for about 9 months to 18 months afterwards, however long that kind of frothiness hangs about for. Is there a need for you guys to get ahead of that? Are you trying to have things in place for all of that further? How do you think about building the business, and how might the plebs listening, if they've got the skills or ideas, how might they be able to add value to you in any way at all?
Yeah, so we actually have a few positions out on Bitcoin jobs today, one product designer and one engineering position. Yeah, there's a few answers to that question. It's like, one is, if you want to work in this industry, having experience with running routing nodes or running nodes at all is hugely advantageous because you understand a network in a different way than somebody who's just read about it or is either completely new or just know Bitcoin. So yeah, people run nodes, that the next few years is going to be really important if you want to work in the industry. But secondly, like, we see huge exchanges, Binance and Coinbase, adding Lightning, working on it. And I think we'll see sort of this cascade of different, first Bitcoin companies, exchanges adding Lightning. And secondly, I think the payment industry, wider payment industry, is going to rediscover Bitcoin. Like, they had sort of this moment in 2014, conferences in payment industries sort of talking about Lightning, et cetera. No, Bitcoin, I mean. And then it didn't scale and everybody ran away. But now it actually scales. So I think a lot of people is going to rediscover the benefits of instant transactions and not having sort of a lot of the problems we see with card transactions. But in that, there's another very important point, and that's why I started the Lightning, the Scaling Lightning initiative. So today, the Lightning network works really well as we know it, but once we hit that sort of breaking point where a lot of these large companies pile in, and generally sort of consumers from all sort of angles come into the space who are not familiar with Bitcoin at all and just sort of use that, it's sort of hidden behind some payment service. So it's Bitcoin behind the scenes. They don't really know it's Bitcoin. At that point, I think we need to be ready. So not only does the Lightning implementations like CLN and LND need to be ready, but every company operating and building any kind of service on Lightning Network need to be ready for that massive increase in traffic and activity. So what I want to achieve with Scaling Lightning is that we build a generalized and very powerful and flexible testing tool to help companies prepare for this world, and also help researchers do different tests. So, for example, bombarding nodes with gossip or trying to simulate payment congestion, which is that if you do enough payments through a node or a channel, then the time it takes for those payments to settle, even if it's small, it builds up and locks up liquidity. And that's get even worse when there are failing nodes or paths attempted. So it takes a bit of time for each payment to attempt the different paths. So we need to prepare and test how much can happen, how much activity can happen before we run into large problems. Like, everything is not completely fixed and working Perfectly, right? So we need to figure out what assumptions are we taking that doesn't hold. So yeah, I'm hoping to really push the industry now, the next 12 months, 18 months, for that world that I think we're going to see soon, where everything just blows up.
Are there companies out there doing the same kind of thing as you? Or are you like the only guys trying to solve this problem?
So the Scaling Lightning Project is actually a industry-wide sort of initiative. I'm hoping to get all kinds of companies. I talked to CLN team, to L&D team, or Lightning Labs and Blockstream, of course. And also we have a Telegram group, and we're working together with all sorts of companies to get this to work. Spiral team, of course, as well with LDK. So yeah, that's sort of separate. And then for Torque and Ellen Capital, they're like we are, as far as we can see, the most advanced management system, analytic system, and automation system in the industry today. And we have some really cool features coming out soon that is going to even further boost this. So I think there are other companies, of course, doing this, but yeah, we need more. We need this to really scale for large companies as well.
Well, MicroStrategy had their Lightning conference a month or two before the actual Bitcoin conference in Miami. I wondered, did any big news come out of that? Did you get across? Did you meet anyone? Do you know what Michael and MicroStrategy are up to behind the scenes? Because, you know, business analytics is their game. And plugging this into Bitcoin and Lightning seems like it would go, you know, hand in glove.
Mm. So there's different kinds of analytics here. Like Ambos, for example, is about more the external public data in the graph or the channel graph. And like what I've seen from MicroStrategy so far is tools to help people use Lightning for different purposes. I'm not sure what they're working on sort of the analytics fronts and management tools, but yeah, sure. If they want to join the scene, then they're welcome. Like I think we need as an industry more of these tools, and yeah, competition is going to be there. So,
And what's Ross Stevens announced Wolf Fund? Is that correct, or the initiative there where they're going to try and fund as many Lightning developers as possible in accelerator programs?
Yeah, we need more investors like that. We need people who understand Lightning and understand what they're investing in. And I think one of the only ways to really do that is for these funds to set up specialized Lightning funds and to have a developer who is working, for example, open source from day to day with Lightning, who then learns everything in that industry on a deeper level to be part of evaluating investment cases. Because if not, it is very hard in my mind to make a proper decision on a company without understanding a lot of the fundamentals in the technology, because this is such a new space. There is very few things that are similar to Lightning. So yeah, I think it's just so early that these companies really need to step up to get sort of that, get enough investment opportunities. So I think they will both miss a lot of opportunities. I think companies will choose investors who know more about Lightning in order to both connect them with things and support them in various ways.
And well, if I thought I was out of my lane talking about Lightning, Arc, have you looked into this new paradigm layer? How would you describe it, first of all, to somebody like me that has, I mean, I've listened to a Stefan Lavera show about it, and it's like, okay, things are moving even quicker than I thought, because now we've got another layer two, or would it be called layer three, or does it bridge to, I mean, what is it?
I would maybe say layer two, but it's to be honest, I'm not the best person to ask, because there's so much happening and I haven't had time to dive deep enough into it to really explain it to people. So I don't want to embarrass myself there. But I mean, this industry has also a tendency to jump off the newest, coolest thing that is possible out there. And I think ARC perhaps has a long way still to go. So from what I gather as well, it is sort of complementary to Lightning. So we can have this mixed world. And I just think it is important to remember what stage the technology is at, so that we don't sort of promote to regular companies something that is 3 years down the line, when Lightning is actually something that is much more realistic in the next 5 years to be using, or 3 years to use fully operationally.
Yeah, man. Well, thank you for trying to get me up to speed with what's going on. It's so great to hear that there is so much being built, and the future is just amazing. Like I said, it's blowing my mind just thinking about where this takes us. Before we do start closing down the interview, I'd love to ask you the final question, which would be, if you had one orange pill left to give to somebody, who would you give that to and why?
That's a tough question. I mean, I'll try to give it to the biggest company I can find, if it also means that they have the ability to change that company for the better and not just use that for sort of their own gains. Yeah, I don't know. Like, Visa is a large company, but of course they have different conflicting interests. And yeah, I'm not sure where they're if they would be the best there. But anyway, like, in a ideal, perfect world, just find the biggest finance company in the world, orange pill the CEO, and hopefully has the power to change something.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like we talked about, Bitcoin and Jobs, you've got a few places open, so people can go there and look at those. But if they want to get in touch with you directly and have a conversation, are you going to be around any of the other conferences coming up, or what's the best way to get in touch?
Yeah, so I'm going to be in El Salvador. That's in November, and most likely TabConf in September. Trying to go to some more conferences as well, perhaps one in October. The downside is that I'm in Norway, so everything is a long flight except for, yeah, there's so much in the US, right? But yeah, I'm definitely going to those. And you can reach me on Twitter, Telegram, all the usual places. So my Twitter handle is OHSkogstrom LN_capital.
All right, excellent. Appreciate you coming on, mate. It's been nice to get to know you, and thank you for all of the information, and thank you for what you're building. The future's bright. The future's orange.
Thank you for having me, and absolutely.
Cheers, brother. Take care. Hey guys, thank you everybody for listening. Thank you, Henrik, for coming on the show. And thank you, as I said at the end there, for building, because I'd not heard of these guys until I was introduced, and I didn't know what was being built here. And this is something I keep coming across, especially when you get to conferences and you listen to some of the presentations. You're like, what? Who are these people? Where did they come from? How far down the rabbit hole are they at, like, truly? And what is this product they're building? And this keeps happening, and I want everybody please to understand that, yeah, you might just be trapped watching the banter on Twitter or getting drawn into some kind of spat over there, or you might not have been able to get to one of the conferences and see behind the curtain as to what's going on. So please remain bullish, remain very bullish, because as the halving approaches, as the Bitcoin bull run will eventually really kick itself into gear and start pumping again, these kind of services, it's so important that they are going to have to be ready and in place to plug in when we need them the most. So rest easy, dear pleb. So much is being built in the background. And more importantly and more excitingly, it is finding funding now too, which is a completely different story to any cycle before. The funding was never there. So now we have
different Bitcoin only venture capital funds that are attracting money from way outside the spectrum to come into and help build these companies. So fingers crossed, everything's going to be in place. We'll have a very nice transition. We all know that's probably not going to be the case, but we can all dream. Anyway, thank you as always for listening. Make sure you get to a conference, because this is where you do get to meet people like Henrik and so many others, and see the speakers and learn about what they're doing. You can get to Bitcoin Atlantis, which is going to be the big one, I think, for 2024. Well, the first quarter at least, 1st to the 3rd of March. You can use the code BITTEN at checkout. Get across to the link in the show notes. Use that code BITTEN, you'll get a 10% discount. Bring the family, make a holiday of it. It's going to be an absolute brilliant one on an island, a subtropical paradise in Europe, which is going to be great to see. There's going to be a lot of people there, great speakers too. If you want to get across to Bitcoin Amsterdam, that's middle of October. Again, hit the link in the show notes. Use the code BITTEN. Lugano now. Lugano's coming up, actually, not far away. So if you want to get there, you can use the code BITTEN. They've just given me that code to drop for a 10% discount. Head over to, come see us. We're going to be there too. And there was another one to Shield. Oh, Liberty in Our Lifetime. I did that at the beginning. That's mid-October in Prague by Free Cities Foundation. And if you go back a few episodes, you'll be able to listen to Tim and Peter talking about that event. Catch you on the next show, guys. Thank you so much for listening, as always.